Hi, everyone, and welcome back to the River Heights Buzz podcast. This is episode 129. I'm one of your hosts. I'm Alexa. Candace isn't here tonight, but I have a special guest with me. Welcome back, my Leah.
Hi. Glad to be back.
I'm glad that you were able to join me. How's things going with you?
They're going all right. Better now that, you know, we have a movie to talk about.
Yes. Tonight we're going to be talking about the second 1930s Nancy Drew movie with Benita Granville. This one is titled Nancy Drew Reporter. There's nothing newsworthy stuff, so I think that if you're ready to go, my Leah, I'm ready to get started.
I'm ready.
Okay. So the description of this book says, Nancy Drew, competing in the local newspaper's amateur reporter contest, attempts to clear a girl named Eula Denning of murder charges with the help of long-suffering Ted and the two brats next door. Nancy rockets through a car chase, a songfest in a Chinese restaurant, a boxing bout, and a finale of whistling fireworks to catch the real killer. The release date was February 18th, 1939, and the running time was 1 hour and 8 minutes.
Movies were so short back then.
I know. It was the time frame then versus now is like an hour to 2 hours difference.
Yeah, wasn't like Oppenheimer, like, I don't know, 3 hours to the note, to the second or something?
I think so.
Yeah.
Well, people can make their movies as short or as long as they want to.
Yeah. I don't mind a shorter movie.
Yeah. Honestly, these movies were nice because they're all roughly around an hour or just over an hour. So it doesn't take too long to get through them. So.
Yeah. But they pack so much into them.
I found that especially in like the last 5 to 10 minutes of this movie, it was just like boom, 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 like just finishing, like resolving everything.
Oh, yeah. I have like 6 pages of notes.
Yeah, I've got almost the same amount. All right. I think let's just dive right in. So we're at the newspaper office and a Mr. Bostwick. I guess he's like essentially in charge of this whole reporter thing going on. And he asks for a Mr. Tracy after reading the newspaper headline about the murder of an elderly woman whose name is Mrs. Lambert. And he totally forgot, I feel like, that students were coming in to report on stories and is like, oh gosh, what did I get myself into?
I'm not sure he even knew that they were coming in.
Yeah.
It felt very much like his co-editor, whoever, was just like, oh, yeah, by the way, we're doing this thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The students will have 3 days to report on whatever story that they pick from a hat. It's all pretty much at random. And whoever makes the best story or like information and stuff wins a medal and will get $50.
Which I did the conversion in American USD. It is equal to $1,116.28 today. And in Canadian, it's $1,037.91.
So that's like quite a big difference between over like 90. Yeah. Years almost.
Yeah, so yeah. They're playing for some real stakes here.
Yeah. And of course, like when all the students pick out their stories from the hat, they're like, they're not really too happy. They're like, oh, this is just like small little stuff, you know?
That one girl that has to write about a squirrel in the park.
Just so random.
Yeah.
So after Nancy picks her story, she ends up seeing, I guess, like a junior reporter, I want to say, because he does seem quite young compared to the other people around the news office, he sticks like another story on like one of those like receipt stake things. I don't know how to describe them.
Desk spike?
Yeah, that. So then she ends up switching the two, her story for that one.
Her story was for a poetry group. So like, big difference.
Sorry, go ahead.
I just love that like she inadvertently sends their like ace reporter to just report on this weird poetry group.
Yeah. So of course, Nancy being Nancy, she's like, I'm gonna pick the most exciting assignment. I'm just gonna go for it, you know?
Yeah.
So she ends up going to the courthouse to see, I guess, essentially like the trial, beginning part of the trial go down of Mrs. Lambert. And apparently, is it sodium paramite?
Faradine is what I have in mind. It's sodium faradine.
That's what it is.
Yeah.
That was how Mrs. Lambert was killed. And of course, Nancy's taking notes just to keep it all straight. And she's sitting beside a man. And through, I feel like almost half the movie, she's like, the man with the funny ear.
Yeah.
And have you ever heard of a cauliflower ear before?
So I know that like this movie was one of my first experiences with that term. But I first watched these movies when I was like 12. So I kind of feel like I've always heard it. But up until this movie, I don't think I had.
Okay. I've heard it before, like before watching this movie. And of course, like lots of boxers and fighters tend to have that. Mm-hmm. And I read that if you don't treat it properly, then that's how like the ear gets to be, I guess, it looking like a cauliflower.
Yeah. I think it's like when they grab your ear or something, it kind of is like a blister sort of thing. And if you don't treat it right, it just stays like that, is what I recall. Cause I like Googled this when I was 12, like way on back. I have heard it in other instances since then, but I think this was the first time I'd ever heard it mentioned. But yeah, I think she doesn't learn his name until like page 2 or 3 of my notes. So just throughout most of the movie, it's the man with the funny ear.
Yeah. I like throughout like most of my notes until we found out his name, I'm like, okay, this is going to be Cauliflower Man because, you know, because I don't know what else to call it.
Yeah. Well, and like, Mrs. Lambert, they don't mention her first name till the very like last two scenes. She all of a sudden gets a first name because I had to go back and add it into my notes.
I didn't even catch her first
name. Yeah, her first name's Kate. It's Kate Lambert.
Okay.
But like in that big zoom in at the front of the movie, it's like elderly Miss Lambert or elderly Lambert woman dies, and then they just call her Miss Lambert until like the last scene. And then Nancy's finally like, this is Kate Lambert's real killer. And I'm like, where did the Kate come from?
Like they picked it out of the air or something.
Yeah. But so that was kind of interesting. It's like the names in this movie just have no meaning.
Yeah.
Until they need to.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
So of course then Eula Denning is getting like up on the stand, getting asked questions, and she's like, the prosecutor, the defender was like, you have the best possible motive to kill Mrs. Lambert because she essentially was going to leave you everything. So you had like the best reason why to kill her. But she's like, I didn't do it. I'm innocent. Like, you know, it's not
she
my fault.
Raised me. Yeah. They mentioned that Miss Lambert raised her. So at one point, but yeah. And she mentions that, the can's going to have the fingerprints of whoever actually did it etched into the metal.
Yeah. And Cauliflower Man was like so nervous after hearing this because he's like, as soon as they get out of the courthouse, he's like tells his girlfriend in the car, all the stuff that they just learned. And he like literally books it out of there, like in front of the courthouse from his spot. And he rear ends Nancy. He hits her bumper. And Nancy and so many people are like, whoa, like this is crazy. So Nancy's obviously upset. So she goes and chases him. And I feel like it was like one of those race car races because she's like zooming out of there after him.
Oh, yeah. I just love the car chases in these old movies. There's just something like special. They just look like they're going like 100 miles an hour.
Yeah. And at least Nancy didn't get a flat tire this time, like in the last movie.
Yeah. Yeah, she chases after him. I would never.
No. I feel like way too scary.
Yeah.
So Nancy does chase after Cauliflower Man. And she ends up making it to the Lambert property. And she didn't see the other car. So she goes up to the front and sees a police officer essentially like guarding the house because no one's allowed in or out. And so, of course, they split up, look around the house. The police officer finds the man and he's like, I'm just checking the gas meter. And he seemed to have a lot of money on him for a gas meter man.
Yeah, I think she said it was like $3.50 for the fender and then another 50 cents for the gas, which I did not get those put down. But she also gives him a dollar in change. So that's like a total of $5 just right there, which in today's money, because I did get that one, is $111.63 USD. And then $103.79 Canadian. So, yeah. I mean, as the watchman guy said, I must be in the wrong branch of service.
Yeah. So then after that whole incident, Nancy makes it back to the news office and she was so excited, wanted to tell all of her updates. And Mr. Bostwick was like, you were the one that changed the stories, huh? And she's like, yeah, that was me. And Nancy was giving him obviously all this information. He's like, it's already been in the paper courtesy of the DA's office. So there's nothing new for Nancy to give at this point.
Yeah. And then she's very disappointed.
Yeah. Which pretty much I feel like carries into what the next day when she's talking with Carson at the breakfast table.
Mm-hmm. Which I think it's interesting that they decided to portray Effie instead of Hannah.
I missed Hannah.
Is Hannah in any of the movies? I don't
know.
I don't think so. Yeah.
She's not.
I think that's an interesting choice.
Like, I could see why with the first movie, because obviously the first movie was based on Larkspur Lane. So Hannah threw at her back, so Effie had to come in and help out. But I don't see why Hannah couldn't be in the next three movies. And Effie's just in them instead.
Yeah. I don't know.
Nancy brings up the Eula case. And Nancy thinks that Eula is innocent. But Carson thinks she's guilty. And so then Nancy ends up... So Carson leaves for his office. Nancy has an idea, but she needs Ted's help. So she calls out to him, but he's not too happy about it.
Yeah. He tells her he's busy to go away.
Because seems like he's tightening up the strings of his tennis racket for like tennis lessons, date, something.
Whatever they are.
Yeah. Nancy goes then and starts her car. But it makes a loud noise and it started smoking. And it was essentially a whistle bomb caused by Ted's sister, Mary, and her friend, Killer. I essentially really wanted to call him Donald Duck.
Yeah.
It's a special voice. He's like doing his Donald Duck voice.
Yeah. Yeah. And Killer's, like, I know it's probably a nickname, but It's such a weird thing to write down when you're referring to a child. And Keller said this.
He's what, at least like 12 or 13?
Yeah, I think they mention at the end that they're 13.
Yeah. Like, I would not want to nickname any child Killer, because that just seems like a bad nickname, or just a name in general.
Yeah. But, yeah. But apparently they're known for causing trouble, because Ted refers to Mary as a gangster.
And it's a sister.
Yeah, it's a sister, yeah.
And then, of course, Nancy gets upset, you know, after all this. And it kind of seems, too, that Nancy's jealous that Ted has a tennis date, or just like a date in general.
Yeah.
So, and kind of, so obviously Mary's a sister, kind of like tells like what's going on. Nancy then gives Ted a hat for his birthday, but his birthday's for not, what, another 2 months or so?
Yeah.
And it's essentially to bribe him to go over to the jail with her and to fix her fender.
Yeah. I love Nancy's just manipulations. And they're like blatant manipulations of the men in her life.
Mm-hmm.
She's like,
I feel like she does it so much with Ted, too.
Yeah. And he even says, duped again.
Yep.
Because she's like, oh, it's for your birthday. Why don't you go ahead and put it on? Oh, look, you look so handsome. Well, I'm going to the jail now. He just goes along with her.
Yeah. So the two of them make it to the jail. And of course, Ted has to hand over his camera to the front desk attendant because he's not allowed to have a camera. But Nancy, she snuck one in from like the collar of her dress, though she's hiding it under her hair.
Yeah.
And so then Nancy ended up having to fix Ted's new hat. She's like stomping on it, making it like twisting it and stuff, and he was like, you just bought it for me, now it's like ruined.
Yeah. And then she says it makes him look like a real reporter and not a store dummy. We love it.
The main reason why the two of them went to the jail was to talk to Eula Denning about everything happening with the case. And of course, Nancy's hoping to get some more information from Eula. And Nancy let her know that she thinks that she's innocent. And she's going to try to get Carson to represent her, like continuing with the trial. Mm-hmm. Eula then shares that she never threw away the tin can. So Nancy and Ted have to go back to the Lambert house and look for it. And, of course, Eula's never allowed anyone to take a picture of her, but she does allow Ted to do it just this once. And, of course, she's stuck behind the jail, like the mm-hmm. cells. Cell.
Bars.
Bars. Thank you. Then Nancy and Ted went to the Lambert estate, and Ted was on distraction duty with the cop, so Nancy could sneak in and look for the can. And poor Ted, he was playing all these games, including Rummy, and he lost his allowance money for the week.
Yeah. I wonder how badly he lost, because they were only playing for like a penny, a point or something like that. Like, it was a very low stake.
Yeah. And they were playing for what, almost like 5 minutes?
Yeah.
I want to say at least.
Yeah. I mean, it wasn't very long.
But he lost that badly.
He calls him a rummy shark, but still, like, I don't know. That just seems like a lot of money. Maybe Ted's financially unwise.
And so as Nancy's going to go into the house, Ted's making all this loud music and stuff so Nancy can get in without the cop knowing. And so she goes down to the basement, looking around. She ends up finding the tin can. But of course, Cauliflower Man is watching her. And he goes and tries to chase her, but she gets away. And the cop, like, hears all this. And he's like, what's going on? I got to go check it out. And Ted is like, you're just hearing things.
And the cop's like, okay.
Not taking it seriously.
No. But yeah. I'm just... He's like, no, I think I ought to go. No, you're hearing things. I didn't hear anything. Okay. Sits back down, starts playing again.
Yeah. So then, of course, Nancy then rushes out and... She's like, Ted, it's time to go. Your mother needs you. So Nancy's obviously driving. She has to get the can to the police station to get the fingerprints. Ted sees the time on one of the clocks on the street. He's like, I gotta go to my tennis lesson.
Well, he says it's a date. He's like, he is putting Nancy on that this fact that he's like on these tennis dates.
Yeah.
Which I'm not sure if it's this specific movie, but there is a deleted scene because there's stills on the internet still from it where like Ted and Nancy are kissing. So like they were setting up for like this weird romance situation. And I guess had the movies gone on, they would have developed it a little more. So I feel like this was kind of the start where like they kind of both are like, we like you each other, but we also kind of don't. So... They're pulling each other on in terms of, well, I've got this big date, and it's really just a tennis lesson.
Yeah. So then, of course, Ted leaves, goes to his date. Nancy keeps going. She got out of her car. She's going to the police station. But, of course, Cauliflower's man's girlfriend goes up, steals the can from Nancy. So Nancy goes and chases her. But, of course... Nancy lost the girlfriend because she ran right into Captain Tweety on the sidewalk. And she's like, of all people, it had to be you.
Yeah. I love it. I think it's really neat the amount of, like, characters and, like, throwbacks that they kind of put into these movies. Because, like, Captain Tweety's, I believe, in the first one. I know he's in some of the later ones. One of the other police officers we meet later is in in the first one as well. So I think it's funny that they developed, or not funny, but I think it's fun that they developed all of these relationships throughout these movies.
Yeah. So later on, it's nighttime, essentially. Nancy's at home. She's got her pajamas on. And Carson, I guessing, is just getting home from work. So she wants to, you know, catch him up on everything that's been going on throughout the day. And she's talking about, you know, Carson essentially taught her to, like, do the right thing, you know, keeping promises, all that kind of thing, which is, like, good things to go along with. And Nancy essentially says again that she believes that Eula's innocent. And she's like, I said that you were going to defend her. And he's like, what?
Nancy! I love he's very angry with her, and then he's just like, all right, give me a bit of evidence to make me think she might not be guilty, and I'll do it.
Yeah. And at different points, she keeps saying it's like the woman's intuition.
Yeah.
Or like some kind of like womanly thing, you know?
Yeah.
So.
Well, but now she has the evidence of the tin can being stolen. So that means other people are mixed up in it. So it must not be Eula that did it.
Yeah. So if everyone else, so many other people are involved.
Yeah.
So then Carson, as he's getting washed up, he eventually tells Nancy about Cauliflower Man and that he's like a fighter or a boxer because of the ear. And so now Nancy is like, okay, that makes more sense as to why his ear is the way it is.
Mm-hmm.
And I found it funny that Carson ended up picking up Nancy and tucked her into bed like a little girl.
Yeah. I love it. It's like one of my favorite scenes.
Yeah.
But yeah. And he's like singing songs and stuff to her about how she's his baby. And she's like, I'm nobody's baby. And he's like, you're always my baby. And then just like slams her in the bed.
Yes. So the next day, Nancy ended up going to, I'm guessing, like the fighting ring office or something.
I was thinking it was kind of like the newspaper. She went back to the newspaper office.
Oh, maybe. And,
like, was looking through the photo archive or whatever.
Could be. Yeah. That would make more sense. And so she asked the man there about, you know, looking for a fighter. And he's like, is there anything, you know, specific? And she's like, yeah, he's got a cauliflower ear. So the man gives her like some groupings, and she ends up finding the man, and his name is Soxy Anthens. So, with like an article.
Yeah.
Then Nancy has Mary and Killer with her as they go to Ted's tennis practice, date, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
And she keeps like honking at him, and he's like, okay, just hold on, like, I'll be back. And Nancy brings, like, obviously catches him up, tells him about Anthens, and she ends up giving him a costume and having him, okay, this is your costume, you're gonna be one round Logan, just to kind of fit in with like the fighting group and stuff. And Nancy, of course, said that she pretended to be Anthony's girlfriend to find out where he is at, like, the practice ring, I'm guessing. And Nancy, of course, is, like, bribing Ted to go along so she doesn't have to go herself.
I think it's just this is one of my favorite Nancy manipulations of this movie. Just because she's like, oh, I don't need you to go with me. You're on this date. I'm just going to go, and I want you to know in case my father asks you.
Yeah.
He's like, I can't let you go alone. She's like, well, here's your costume.
Yeah. Oh, boy. So then eventually Nancy and Ted make it to the practice ring, and there's a bodyguard or something at the door, and he's like, you need to have 10 cents if you want to enter. So Nancy's like, points to 10, like, you pay him. No, it was Nancy that paid.
Yeah,
because I don't think Ted had any money at that point.
No, he lost it all to the watchman. But 10 yeah. cents in today's money is in American USD, it's $2.23. And in Canadians, it's $2.08.
Okay. So like, not that much increase, really. So, Ted goes into the practice area. He went up to Soxy just to get him talking, but Soxy wants to do some rounds with Ted. And Ted seems really nervous about this whole thing, and I don't blame him.
I would not want to go up against a man named Soxy at Anthens either.
Nancy goes to the phone booth just to see, and of course she's pretending to be Soxy's girlfriend again, and she wants Soxy to call her right away. And so Nancy gets out, Ted's entering the ring, and he's going in not the way that all the fighters get in. He's going over the top, like, way on the bottom. And then the guy's like, no. Go in through the middle. This is the way to go. And so Nancy's, like, very surprised about it. And she's like, we got to go. And Ted's like, I got to fight him. And so Ted ends up losing. And he's essentially, like, the laughingstock about it. And his face is, I'm assuming, bruised. And you can tell it's, like, really swollen from getting punched. So I'm guessing then next Nancy and Ted are at Ted's house, I want to say.
Either his house or Nancy's house, but they're neighbors, so it's kind of a moot point.
Yeah. And so they're calling around to see which hotel Soxy is staying at, I think. Is that right?
Well, they're trying to figure out the number because it was like static over the speaker. So she got some of the numbers, but not all of them. And so they're trying to figure out who Soxy's girlfriend and or where she's staying.
Yeah.
So get through a lot of numbers, apparently, until it's like the very last one.
So, yeah, they finally find out the hotel. Of course, it's the last one that they tried. And so then, I guess, do they make it? Is they go to the hotel, the restaurant at the hotel?
They call it the number. It's to the Beldenburg Hotel. They find out that both Soxy and his girlfriend, whom they also find out is named Miss Lucas, live there. And they learn that Miss Lucas has gone to the Mandarin Cafe, which is, I guess, a separate establishment somewhere.
Okay.
So then Nancy and Ted go to the Mandarin to try to figure out what's going on with Miss Lucas, but they don't have a lot of money. And so they're like, we're going to order light, like tea, and that's about it. And then Mary and Killer have stowed away in the back seat of Nancy's car. And they're like, we're going to get chop suey. And Ted and Nancy are like, we don't have money. No, you're not. We'll get you a glass of milk. And then Ted makes them practice ordering. They fail in the practice, which is a foreshadowing event. But they let them in anyway, because Mary's like, if you don't let us come, I'm going to tell Nancy's dad what you guys are up to.
There's so much bribing and almost like blackmail in a way in this movie.
Yeah. So they go in, and Nancy arranges it. So they end up at the booth next to Miss Lucas and her date, who is someone we haven't talked about, but has been mentioned a couple of times, Miles Lambert, who is set to inherit if Eula Dennings goes to jail.
So is this Lambert, he must be family of Mrs. Yeah, Lambert he's somehow.
Like, he's the closest living kin. So if Eula goes to jail and Miss Lambert's will can't be done, I guess, I don't know, then he's the one that's supposed to inherit everything.
That makes sense. So then Nancy goes to make a phone call to Soxy saying that his girl's having lunch with Lambert. So just for Soxy to get there as fast as he can, I guess. Mm-hmm. And this is when Nancy gets back, isn't it? This is when Mary ends up ordering chop suey.
Yeah. Ned orders tea. I think Nancy gets some sort of soup. And then Killer does get his one little glass of milk like he promised. And then Mary's just like, and we want chop suey. And then it just cuts to them having like this whole smorgasbord on a table. And Ned and Nancy looking crestfallen. Because they have no money.
Yeah. Then Soxy ends up showing up. And there's like the big fight between him and Lambert. And of course there's a crowd. Then everything breaks up. Nancy and Ted go to pay. They're 65 cents short because of chop suey.
Which is $14.51 American. In today's money, and then $13.49 Canadian.
Okay.
Which is why I can understand now why the guy's like, okay, we need our money. You can't just leave and come back.
Yeah. And then they were like, oh, you can trust us. And they just automatically thought that they could leave and come back. But no, I guess it's like, what, the owner or one of the workers there was like, no, you got to go wash dishes.
Yeah.
All of you. Just to, you know, be able to pay it back. And Mary and Killer were trying to sneak away, but that didn't work because one of the other workers was like bringing them back, like, no, the kitchen's the other way.
Yeah. Yeah. Which I think they mentioned that they're going to have to wash dishes for like 2 days.
Yeah.
So I don't know how you plan to keep them there for 2 days. I mean, they're going to have to leave at some point. But yeah. Still, I guess it's the thought that counts. But on the way to the kitchen, Killer tells the worker that Mary is a world famous singer and will sing for the difference in the tab. And so he says, if the worker says, if you sing a nice American song and we like it, we'll rip up the check. And if we don't, then you're washing dishes.
So for the most part, it's like nursery rhymes and things that they sing. And like the other diners, they're like, he's really enjoyed it. And they ended up like throwing money to the group, I guess as like payment. And the owner or whoever the man was, he ended up ripping the bill because he enjoyed it so much.
Yeah. Yeah. It was, I mean, they all could sing. I'll give them that.
Yeah.
Even Weird Little Killer in his Donald Duck voice could sing.
And you could tell that they were like all really nervous about it.
Yeah.
And they all kind of wanted, well, at least more specifically Nancy and Ted, they were both trying to like sneak out, but then the other one would like bring them back like, no, not that fast, like you gotta stay.
Yeah,
they essentially were good to go after that. Then Nancy and Ted made it back to the news office to give some more information about the Eula Denning and the Lambert story. Just as Mr. Bostwick was going to name the winner. And so Nancy ended up winning. But she's like, no. Like, I'll take the medal, give the money to the rest of the group. And of course, Nancy's like, for the most part, just making up this information just to be able to like have the real killer essentially come to light. Of course, Nancy's like fake story made the front page news with everything about Eula Denning being innocent and all that kind of stuff. Nancy was still there. She ended up talking to Sergeant, what was his name?
Entwistle.
Okay.
Entwistle.
Okay. I ended up calling him Sergeant Grandma afterwards because he essentially dressed up as the grandma to be able to get into the hotel.
Yeah.
And he was like, had to remind himself to do like an elderly grandma voice because he wanted to use his real voice, but he caught himself. He's like, no, I'm like all dressed up as a grandma, so I got to play the part.
Yeah.
They end up getting a room, which was, like, next door to essentially, like, the bad guys. And so they planted, like, a listening device, recording machine type thing is kind of, like, what it looked like.
Yeah, I think that's what it is. Yeah. Which, I mean, I hope somebody, after the fact, explained to the hotel why they now have a hole in the wall.
Yeah.
Because they drilled a hole in the wall to put the microphone through to the other room. Of course, I mean, it's behind a picture, but still, you just put a hole in your hotel room.
Yeah.
But yeah, they get it all set up, and then Aunt Whistle goes to snoop around for the can, which I have feelings about the rest of the scene. I know he's not supposed to be the most competent of characters.
Yeah.
But why did he leave the keys in the lock?
That was one of my questions. Why would you leave the key in the lock out in the hallway?
Yeah. Like, that's the number one giveaway that you're doing, that somebody's in the room that shouldn't be in the room. I also want to know how he got the keys in the first place.
Yeah.
Because we don't ever see him, like, take them from anybody. So do all officers just have keys to everything back in the
30s? Or it could be, like, a skeleton key or something, too.
Maybe. I have questions on how 30s locks work.
I mean, 'cause, like, I don't get it.
like Nancy gets locked in a lot of rooms back in the early books, and then she eventually does the same thing in the movie. In this movie, I'm like, how does the people are inside? I mean, I have questions.
Yeah. So then eventually, I think it was Lambert went up to the room. He saw the key in the lock, goes in the room and confronts Sergeant Grandma. And like they kind of tussle, and then Lambert knocks out Edge Entwistle for a little while. Like puts him to sleep. And so then Lambert ends up going to the room where Nancy and Ted are, because of course Entwistle was like, help, help, you know, all this stuff's going on. And so Lambert ended up taking Nancy and Ted up to the roof into what, like this, is it like a storage room? Like the, where?
I kind of referred to it in my notes as like the control room for the sign.
Okay.
Like it's just a electric room, like, because it has a lot of, not just the sign, but it looked like it had a lot of other electrical components to it. So I just like, it's the control room, electric room, something like that. But it's just this thing on the roof. And can we just, Benita Granville, when she's up on that roof and she thinks that Lambert's going to like push them off the roof, and she's like, what are you going to do with us, mister? Peak acting.
Yeah, very true.
Also, they could have totally just ran down the stairs when he went to open that control room door.
Right?
They could have just run. Like, I know the guy was armed, but he had to cross behind, like, they were between him. They were in the middle. They could have easily made it to the door.
Yeah.
But that's okay. We pretend we don't see the plot holes.
Yeah, essentially the two of them get locked in that room and Lambert takes off. Then we switch to Mary and Killer and they see Nancy's car and decided to tamper with it again. And what did they put in there? Like fireworks or something?
They put in more whistle bombs.
And didn't they use like everything?
Yeah, well, I guess most everything. But she had taken them earlier in the day or like the day before or whatever. And so they got them out of her glove compartment and they're like, we're going to put them all in there because they wanted to get back at her. I said they put most of them because of like the very last scene of the movie. Yeah. So they do that and then they're going to the movies.
Yeah.
Which I'm wondering if they got to keep the money that they got when they sang, because the next time we see them, they're like loaded up with snacks.
Yeah. I don't know. They must have used it all on snacks.
Yeah.
I'm guessing. So then Nancy and Ted ended up, I guess, using one of the fuse boxes to like flash the sign at the front of the hotel, like on and off to get the attention. Just, you know, I guess like a help, like SOS signal.
Yeah.
So then the engineer ended up going up just to see like what's going on.
Yeah, because they made it say Bed Bug Hotel.
Yeah.
So the front desk guy was like, get up there right now. It's my favorite joke in the whole movie.
Yeah. The engineer ended up going up. Nancy and Ted got saved. And they told the engineer to call the police and obviously say what's going on. The two of them got the recording device thing back and working. And they go back as Nancy's looking out the window, because obviously they start hearing the police sirens at this point, right? I think.
They saw Soxie come in when they were coming back down from the roof. And then Nancy locks both Soxie and Miles into Soxie's room and just left poor Sergeant Entwistle just in there with them. Just locked them all in, said that would keep them for a while. They went and set up the listening thing. The police sirens heard in the distance. So Miles and Soxie try to use the hall door. It's locked. They can't get out. So they climb out of the fire escape. And then Nancy sees them leaving down the fire escape. She goes and unties the sergeant. And then Miles and Soxie see Nancy's car and just take it. Which there is something to be said about leaving your keys in the ignition there, Nancy. So they try to make a quick getaway, but then the whistle bombs start going off. Gets the attention of the police and Carson, who's apparently just been riding with the police. Yes. He's like, they're getting away in my daughter's car.
Like, let's go.
Yeah, so a second car chase of the movie ensues.
Yep.
Entwistle, Nancy, and Ted flag down a passing motorist and make him follow, and they're just like hanging on to the side of the car. The bad guys can't see because of the smoke from all the little fireworks or whistle bombs or whatever, and so they crash Nancy's car. Yep. And get caught. The tin can is found. Everyone laughs because Entwistle is half in disguise because half of it had come off during one of the tussles.
Yep.
And then Mary and Killer apparently did not appreciate the movie because over the police radio, they get a call about two 13-year-olds, a boy and a girl, setting off a whistle bomb. And Nancy and Ted are cringing as we fade to black.
And that's the last that we ever hear and see of Mary and Killer, because we don't see them in the next two movies.
I can imagine why they would not have been popular.
Yeah. I didn't really like those two too much, to be honest.
I thought Mary was okay. I don't know. Killer did not speak to my soul.
No.
I think it was just the Donald Duck voice.
Probably, yeah. I could see that.
Yeah.
But this movie definitely had its moments where, like, it was good. But then other times it was like, not so much.
Yeah. From what I can remember of the other ones, and it's been a while since I've sat down and watched all of four of them back to back, I remember this one being my least favorite. Of course, I was significantly younger when I watched them last, so I could very well change my mind. I didn't mind it this time watching it through. Like, I had a good time. We got some popcorn and we sat down and we're just, you know, going through it. But yeah, it has its moments.
Yeah. I think each of the movies have their moments where it's like, there's some good stuff, there's some not so good stuff. Just like really, I guess, pick and choose kind of what you like and what you don't like, I guess.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And as a final number conversion, we didn't really talk about, Nancy says, I'll bet you 2380 a lot throughout all four movies. I think she only mentioned it once in this movie. I know there's other times when she mentions it more. I looked this up one time. 2380 is how much they paid, I think, CCC workers during the Depression. It was like a day's wage. So she's functionally betting a day's wage when she says that, which in today's money is $533.36 USD and $494.04 Canadian.
Okay.
But Every time I watch these movies, I just want to start saying that now. And it's very old slang that is not relevant today. And it never gets brought up, and I can't find a way to work it into a conversation.
Yeah.
I'll bet you 2380.
Yeah, I remember reading up on that, too.
Yeah. Because it confused me for the longest time. I was like, why does she keep saying that? That's got to be some old 30s slang.
Yeah.
So. Yeah. And that's Nancy Drew Reporter.
Yeah. You have any other notes on this movie?
I don't think so. We kind of covered it all.
Yeah.
I really appreciate Bud Bug Hotel.
Yeah.
We'll never not get a giggle over that.
Sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say, I would not have been smart enough to figure out that's the message to put, just playing with those letters.
Yeah. As long as the hotel doesn't actually have bed bugs, then I'm good.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So next week on the episode, we're talking about the third Nancy Drew movie, Nancy Drew Troubleshooter. That should be interesting.
Yeah.
So hopefully Candace will be back for that one. Nylea, thank you for joining again. We really appreciate it.
No problem. Anytime.
And I think you're coming on with us for the final movie, Nancy Drew and the Hidden Staircase.
I am. I'm very excited.
And that episode's coming out in a couple of weeks. So thank you, Ilea, and thank you everyone for listening. And we'll see everyone next time.
Bye, everyone.
You can find us on Instagram at River Heights Buzz. You can email us at riverheightsbuzz@gmail.com. You can join our Facebook group, the River Heights Buzz Podcast Central Buzz. And you can follow us on Twitter at River Heights Buzz with just one Z. Thank you so much for listening, and make sure to keep an eye out for our next episode.